Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back one with another. I just thank the Lord for giving us this virtual connection that we can connect one with another, different places, but yet God has brought us together in the Spirit. If you're excited about Jesus today, can you just give him a hand clap of praise? Lift up those hands. In that chat, put some emoticons, some claps, some thankfulness to the Lord, because he has definitely been so good to us. If you notice on my backdrop today, there's a 12. Why don't you keep that number 12? Because we're going to deal with the significance of 12. You're like, 12, what does that mean? Well, stay with us. We're going to go back to the basics and get back to dealing with guilt and shame today. I just thank the Lord for helping us and blessing us as living epistles. So many people are dealing with guilt and shame. They're struggling within their lives, but God has allowed us to be here and to allow his light to shine through us, that people can be encouraged. We've set aside so many things online at ebcnc.com as we're walking as living epistles so that we can be encouraged. On Mondays, we have Monday manna at 7 o'clock. Tuesday, we have our noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis at ebcnc.com. Interesting story. Just the other day, we were doing a live Bible study, and after that Bible study, I got a text from someone in Hawaii. Yes, in Hawaii. They had gotten up at 6 a.m. To see our 12 noon Bible study. And they were truly blessed. And it's just mind-boggling to me to think about the time shifts that we can be here at 12 noon, Hawaii, 6 a.m., and we are sharing in Bible study. Someone's drinking coffee and we're eating lunch, but yet we're celebrating Jesus. Also, on our Wednesday night virtual connection, ebcnc.com at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Hebrews. Very challenging, but we're learning about the high priest. Don't forget to pray for our in-person services right in the sanctuary of Ebenezer from 6 to 7 on Thursdays, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. Please pray for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service. Today, we're going to have the Reverend Dr. Pastor John Howard to come forth, and he's a part of our ministry. He's pastor of Camp Grove. He's going to be ministering to our 10:45 service. And as always, continue to pray for our 10 o'clock online. Thank you for your giving. Whether you're giving using our app, or you're sending it into our secure mailbox, or you're in our in-person service giving, I just thank the Lord that we've grasped the scriptures. The scriptures talk about Paul the Apostle, led of the Spirit, he said that we should lay up an offering, a gift of love each week. We should purpose in our heart, and we can give not grudgingly or of necessity, but with cheerfulness. And then that other scripture says, and God will make all grace abound. He will make sure that we have the ability to give for every good work. And so God is continually saying, I am your provider, which we can give cheerfully because we know he's been a wonderful provider. Any amens out there? He has done magnificent. Well, I am thinking about the word of God today. Don't forget about number 12. We're going to talk about it today as we prepare our hearts to receive from the Lord. We'll see you soon.
Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge that my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy Holy Spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness.
The poem for you today is entitled Proclaim This Amazing Resurrection. A cold and dark tomb made of heavy stone, the body of Jesus wrapped lying on a stone platform alone. It was the day after Sabbath before the full light pierced the sky. A tall angel, adorned with lightning, was summoned to the tomb by God the Most High. The earth began to violently shake as the stone at the tomb door rolled to its side. Lightning filled the tomb, causing Jesus to stand. And to Mary Magdalene and Mary, he replied, "Don't be frightened. Go tell others I have risen and I'm alive." Filled with fear, but also with joy, seeing this angel, then Jesus, to their surprise. The women obeyed and they told the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee. The disciples viewed the risen Christ, then fell at his feet happily. Jesus, dressed in white, yet glowing bright as the sun, instructed the disciples to tell the world what the Father had done. As the disciples proclaimed this amazing resurrection that Jesus said he would do, the most loving sacrifice Jesus endured, this event is so true. Every sin we committed, he forgave as he rose to his Father on the throne. It's so wonderful knowing the Lord can handle it all, letting us know that we're never alone. Be blessed.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus,
Jesus
is the way maker.
He is the way maker.
Oh,
Jesus
is the way maker.
Jesus
is the way maker.
One day
made a way for me.
When my life was so dark and dreary,
Jesus came
and he answered my prayer.
One day,
made a way.
Jesus made a way for me.
Oh, one day the sun refused to shine.
Ooh.
This soul of mine.
Ooh.
And I pray both night and day.
Ooh.
That the Lord would make a way.
Ooh.
He came and he answered my prayer.
Ooh.
He answered right then and there. And one day,
he led
away.
One day, Jesus made a way for me.
I'm talking about Jesus.
Jesus
is a way maker.
I'm talking about
Jesus. Is a way maker.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, he is.
Is a way maker.
One day
make a way for me.
When my life
was so dark and dreary,
Jesus came
and he answered my prayer.
One day,
laid away for me.
Talk about Jesus.
Jesus,
yeah.
Is a way maker.
Jesus,
yes, he is
a way maker.
Jesus,
yes, he
is a way maker.
One day,
laid away for me.
When my life
was so dark and dreary,
Jesus came
and he answered my prayer.
One day,
so good to know. Our God is an awesome God. He definitely reigns from heaven above. We just thank the Lord that he is our everything. And today, as we get into the scriptures, I just want you to be encouraged. It is so easy to get depressed. It is so easy to be downtrodden. But I want you to know that our God is faithful. I want us to get back to this theme, back to the basics. And it has been a blessing for me. We got these topics from all over. Our young people, not just Ebenezer, but they had friends connected. And these were some things that they wanted to learn about that they asked me to go in depth with as I was led of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to get back to dealing with that subtopic of shame and guilt. But let's get to our memory scripture, James 1:26 and 1:27. We've been going over this, reading it aloud together so it can get into our mind and seep into our heart. So I hope you're ready. I hope you got your notepads, your devices, whatever, as we go through this message today. But let's read this memory scripture aloud. James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I know it's flowing better, isn't it? We're getting it into our mind and it's seeping down into our hearts. Let's get prepared to go into the portion of scripture today that the Lord has placed on my heart. But before we get there, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for being such a gracious God, Lord, and just showing us your love, even when we don't deserve it. I pray for those who are listening and viewing today. Maybe there's someone out there that does not know you. I pray that today will be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they wrap their arms around that gift that you're so willing to give. Now, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into this place. You've already been with us, just speaking to our hearts. So we ask you to teach us, guide us, lead us into all truth. Make this word, please, so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you just say amen? Put it in the chat. Amen. Well, today I want to go into a portion of scripture, very familiar portion of scripture we're going to talk about. It's actually in several books in the Bible. But today let's go to Mark chapter 5. And I want you to focus in with me on that 25th verse, Mark chapter 5 and 25. It reads, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years." I want to read that real short, but very powerful as we're dealing with that subtopic of guilt and shame today. Mark 5:25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. I want to speak from a title today, 12 years of shame. 12 years of shame. As I was going through this portion of scripture, I started thinking about 12. It just kept popping up in my heart and my mind. And some of you know, if you've been with me, I like numerology. It's just the study of numbers, especially when it comes to the Bible, the significance, because God never wastes. He doesn't waste numbers. Everything is important that he puts forth. And we often see, especially as we define the number 12 within the scripture, as perfection or entirety. You remember 12 disciples, and then you go back to the Old Testament, the 12 tribes of Israel. There's so many 12s that pop up over and over again that God uses to impact our minds and help us to understand that he is in control of everything. Particular period that we're going in today is around 32 AD. So Jesus is well within his ministry. He is well known. Fame has been around him for healing the sick and even raising the dead, but also his powerful teachings that have drawn so many but have repelled others. In the scriptures, before we get here, we see demons have been cast out, gone in the swine, and Jairus, he actually pleads for his daughter to be healed. And smack right in the middle of all these miracles, here we meet a woman that has an issue. These scriptures that we're going to deal with today, I said you can actually read a similar portion of it in Matthew chapter 9, 20-22, and Luke chapter 8, 43-48. And when God brings these sections over and over again to us, he wants us to learn something from them. Our challenge from last Sunday was, what happens when we choose a life of guilt and shame? Yeah, we make choices. We met that woman at the well. She had made choices. She had literally made choices, and it had brought her into a life of guilt and shame. But today, I want us to deal with, what happens when you've made all the right choices, but still you're carrying guilt and shame? I hope you heard me. What happens when you have made all the right choices, you've done all the right things, but you're still carrying baggage of guilt and shame? That's what we're going to deal with today. Let's jump into this section again, Mark 5:25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Can you put in the chat 12? Because I want you to get that. Just put 12 in the chat. Here's our first point. God is always on time. Yes, God is always on time. This is a tough scripture because, you know, we're taught in the present day church that, you know, God's just going to show up. You know, he's kind of like a bubblegum machine. I'm dating myself. I don't know if they even still have that today, or Gatorade machine or Coke machine. We just want to put our money in, you know, we want to, you know, Apple Pay, whatever we do, and we want it immediately. But we have to realize that God is always on time, but his timing many times is not our timing. And we can look at time, and so many times we're like, man, it took so long. But as I get older, my wife and I, we get older, and we look back in our life, we're like, man, that was so quick, you know, raising 5 children and all those things. We're like, man, time has just flown. And so today I want you to kind of pull back and go, okay, God's timing can be so different. This particular woman, just the background, we find out that she was bleeding. So as we study the scriptures, we dig in, she was actually hemorrhaging. This was outside her menstruation period. She was bleeding every day, which compound, because the time that she is living in is not like us. You know, my wife and other women that are going through can just go out to, you know, CVS or a food line and pick up things that have been prepared to help them through their time of the month. But here, this woman did not have that convenience. Some can get on pills and that be limited, that flow. But this woman has a disease of some type that is causing her to hemorrhage, to bleed every day. There ought to be somebody say, Lord, help her, help her. This is complicated because she is carrying this around, not really having air condition or any of that. It's dirty for the most part where she has to live, she has to go through, and she has to deal with this 12 years. Now, to add to this, there was Old Testament principles that actually kind of ostracized women that were in their time of the month, and especially that were bleeding. Leviticus 15:25. I just want you to get the context of what people were seeing in her life and what she was dealing with. It said, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days other than at the time, this was of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. So for 12 years, this lady is bleeding and she is seen as unclean. Her parents look at her and say she is unclean. Her friends look at her and say she is unclean. She looks at her own self and says that I am unclean. 12 years of shame. To add to this, Leviticus 15:26, every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of the impurity, and whatever she sits on shall be unclean. Can you put it in the chat? Unclean, wherever you're standing, sitting, say unclean as the uncleanness of her impurity. So she's unclean because she's bleeding. And then wherever she sits down, it becomes unclean. Wherever she lays, it becomes unclean. I hope you follow in the story. 12 years of shame. So that means she didn't sit down very much, especially in public, because no one would sit where she had been sitting. She couldn't lay down in certain places, and no one wanted to lay after her simply because she was considered unclean for 12 years. She has to deal with this guilt and shame, and she didn't choose it. This was something that just happened to her. And some of you are in some situations right now you didn't choose, and you're carrying baggage from the past that happened to you. I want you to know that God sees your plight. He sees your trek of guilt and shame, but he's going to show up and show out. Leviticus 15:27, whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening. 12 years of shame. God is speaking to my heart. Some of you just need encouragement to know that God still loves you even when you don't love yourself. I want you to know you're dealing with that shame and guilt, and much of it is not your fault. It's not your fault, but God is going to use it on your behalf that you can praise him even more. And so many times we've got to realize and recognize the shame and the guilt. It's real within our lives. 12 years of shame. Look at Mark 5:26, and had suffered. Somebody say suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Here's the point. The world can't fix you. No, they can't. The world can't fix you. Now I do want to embrace this and hit it head on. Thank God for doctors, nurses. I thank God for counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists. I thank God for those that have gone in those careers and have studied and spent a long time. But a good doctor will let you know, I can do surgery on you and I can kind of put things back together, but the body has a healing process that God is allowed to be in it. And if they're Christian, they'll let you know, I can't heal you, but I know a man who can heal you. Any counselor will let you know, yeah, I can give you tools and I can help you to unpack some things that are in your mind. But ultimately, you have to embrace and you need something bigger than you that can heal you. We know him as the Lord because he is the creator. And we have to realize in our lives that man cannot fix us. We got to go back to the image maker. I hope you're with me right now. We got to go to the one who created us, our minds, who created our bodies. I'm talking about 12 years of shame. Genesis 1:26 talks about this. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And so she found out, man, she was going to doctors, and she's trying to get the latest fix, the latest prescription, the latest surgery. But guess what? Instead of getting better, she gets worse. All her money's gone. All her 401k has been spent. People are still looking down on her. She's bleeding more and more. 12 years of this, 12 years of shame. She's losing energy in her body. Notice Mark 5:27. When she heard about Jesus, somebody say Jesus. Can you put in the chat Jesus? Where are you standing? Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Here's the point. Do you know about Jesus? Yes. Do you know about Jesus? 12 years of shame. I grew up with an old spiritual that kind of went like this. It says, what do you know about Jesus? He's all right. What do you know about Jesus? He's all right. What do you know about Jesus? He's all right. He's all right. And then they had another stanza that went, he's a doctor in a sick room. He's all right. Said he's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's all right. What do you know about Jesus? He's all right. What do you know about Jesus? He's all right. There has to be a point in this trek of life where we're carrying guilt and shame that was put upon us. Again, our premise here that this woman did not choose this life. This was just thrown upon her, that we have to realize that there is a man. His name is Jesus. We got to know who he is and embrace what he can do for us. I'm not sure how this lady, it doesn't tell us, came about the news. Maybe she heard it as she was being ostracized, and maybe she heard the celebration of somebody who was blind but now could see. And within that, she just said that he's my only hope. No, the doctors can't do it. I don't want to go through any more prescriptions anymore. I need to just get to that man. Any testimonies in the house to know, as long as we got Jesus on our side, Jesus was the only one that could deliver her from her guilt and shame. Look at Mark 5:28. For she said, this is what she said. This we get to peer into her consciousness. We get to peer into what she's thinking by the Spirit of God. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Here's the point. Do you want a change? Yes, do you want to change? I have to deal with a lot of people. I counsel a lot of people. And sometimes, you know, people come to me and they can say, they're like, I'm here for counseling. That means that I want to change. But when it comes to mentally and emotionally, they don't really want to change. They're just trying to pacify a partner, or they're just trying to come there because someone told them to come there. But you got to want to change. You got to want to be better. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the one that you got to go to. She was not looking for an interview with Jesus. She wasn't looking for a sit down talk because she was unclean, right? And especially when it came to the male counterpart, they would look down on her. She had been run away. Her family probably didn't embrace her. This was the life that she lived. So in her mind, she's like, I can't talk. Talk to him. I can't really ask, but I know something. If I look at this Mark 5:28, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall maybe. She said, this is my last effort. But I know something. I heard about the man. What do you know about Jesus? I haven't seen him work on me yet, but I know if he did it for Sister Jane down the street. I know if he healed Brother Bob down the street. I know if he made that lame man to walk. I know if I can just touch him, there's enough power that will keep that word power that will come out. She was tired of her guilt and shame. And I want to encourage you. Some of you are tired. I realize you've gone through some situations, but are you desperate today to get out of this cycle of 12 years of shame? How many years will it take you to come to the point to know that God is a healer? How many more nights will you have to cry to know that God is the only one that can fix you? 12 years of shame. Look at Mark 5:29. Immediately, you know what I'm going to say in the chat. Could you just type immediately? I'm giving you a little time. My quick type is put immediately wherever you stand and sit and say immediately. This is critical. 12 years of shame, 12 years of going through. And this Mark 5:20, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She said, if I could just touch him, if I can touch him. So within that, somehow she meandered through the crowd, and maybe the people didn't know her. And I'm pretty sure they didn't know her because they would have said unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be there because the bleeding was taking place, but she was desperate. She said, I got to get to him. She said, if I can just touch, if I could just kind of just push by him. And I know that something's going to happen. Here's the point. The power of God. Yes, the power of God, the power of God. That Mark 5:29, again, that word immediately. When she reached out and touched Jesus, and I want you to know, especially on this virtual connection, as we are really digging into this scripture, you can reach out and touch him right now. Oftentimes we have altar calls, and I believe in touching and agreeing. I believe, and our ministers, they get in front of the altar and they can pray for people. But I also believe that it's not in a human per se. It's all in what God can do. He can use humans. He can use me as I lay hands. We have scriptures to lay hands on the sick and anoint them with oil. I get all that, but there's something about going directly to Jesus. There's something about reaching out and touching him and knowing, God, I am going directly to you, and I know you can. I'm talking about 12 years of shame. What if today, are you listening to me? What if today is the last day of your guilt and shame? You finally get it. You've been dealing with this for 12 years. You've been dealing with this for 13 years. You've been dealing with this for 20 years. But today the light comes on, revelation, illumination happens, and you know, if I can just touch Jesus today, if I can just give it all to him, I know some of you have been shamed by your race, and I know some of you have gone through abortion and divorce and molestation, and some of you have been shamed because of your weight, but I want you to know, I know a God, I know the power of God that can lift you from that guilt and shame if you just turn it over to him. 12 years of shame. Look at Mark 5:30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd, and he said this, "Who touched my clothes?" It is, there's multitudes all around him. His fame has gone through all the land. And so there are all people there. You know how it is. I've been in crowds, and I come to the front of the church and try to greet people. But sometimes crowds get around. People are bumping me. Sometimes people are touching me on the back. I'm like, I don't know who did that. But Jesus said, somebody touched me. This was a different type of touch of Mark 5:31. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude is thronging you. They're pushing up against you. And you say, who touched me? Come on, Jesus, we know you can walk on water, and we know you can turn water to wine and everything, but you're asking for the impossible. All these people, there's a lot of folks that touch you. But Jesus comes back in Mark 5:32, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Here's the point. Jesus knows who you are. Yeah, Jesus knows who you are. He does. He knows who you are. He knows what you've been going through all of these years. They ought to be sorry. I sense somebody's some tears coming out. You thought you were by yourself. You thought you had been ostracized so much, and people had put you down, and you were carrying this guilt. You felt that God couldn't forgive you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. We're glad about that. But what happens when stuff is thrust upon you, when things come at you, just because you were born and now you're living in shame and guilt, because you're a part of a family and they've chosen some stuff and you didn't choose that. You were just born into the family, but because you are associated with them, there's guilt and shame that follows you. I want you to know that Jesus knows who you are. Yes, he knows who you are, and he wants to deliver you. I'm telling you, I want to give you scripture to understand this. Luke 12:6, he said, not our 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper cones, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows every follicle that's on your head. He knows every piece of hair. He knows everything. I know you say, Pastor, I bought me some hair. He knows it all. He knows every
numbers of your hair. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. Jesus knows who you are. Jeremiah 1:5, one of my favorite scriptures. He told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you into the womb, I knew you. Before you were born and sanctified you, I ordained you a prophet. He knows who you are. 12 years of shame. He hadn't forgot about you. No. He's been using year 1, year 2, year 3, year 10, year 15. He's been using you to this day to get you to this point that you could realize you can be delivered. You can be set free. Whatever pain that you're going through, I want you to know there's a healer in the place right now. Yes, there's a God that's more than enough. God put this thought on my mind. He said, pain is only temporary, but victory in Jesus is forever. Yeah, we experience pain temporarily, and it seems to last a long time. But even those who have debilitating diseases that they carry to the end of their life, please understand, it's only temporary, because one day we get to see Jesus, and victory in Jesus is forever. Look at Mark 5:30 again. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. I want to deal with this. The power in the Greek here, this word is broke down to dynamic virtue. Yeah, it's just different. So when we touch people, you know, they can sense that we touch them, but we don't take something from them per se. But Jesus is so powerful, anointing. He is giving away portions of himself. Yeah, it's the same feeling in some senses, you know, when someone is down and we can go and embrace them and they say, I feel so much better. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and sometimes she gets migraines, and what I do when she was a little girl, I would just lay my hand on her. I'd be praying, I would lay my hands, and when I lay my hand on her, she would say, just daddy, keep your hand there, because for a period of time that migraine would subside, the pressure would release. But here, Jesus is the power source, and she has faith. She's reaching out. She reaches for that dynamic virtue, and that power goes out. I love what theologian McDonald, he writes of this incident. He says, Jesus' power never was released without his knowledge and will. It was not a magical touch that caused healing. Many sick people had touched him, but this particular woman was healed because Jesus permitted his power to deliver her. In that good news, Jesus felt that touch and faith connected him. He knew that she had been struggling for 12 long years. This was her day. This was her day. I believe he slowed down in the crowd. He could have sped up so she couldn't get to him, but I believe he slowed down in the crowd. God, divineness came together, that dynamic power, and she reached out, and it says that she just kind of reached out and touched the skirt of him. At that time, they would have kind of little pomegranates and little pieces that would kind of come down for their robe, so she just kind of slipped by. It was like, tag, you're hit. And at that point, power was able to connect at that millisecond and go through her body, and she knew immediately it is over. 12 years of shame is over. 12 years of pain is over. Why? Because she touched Jesus. Look at Mark 5:31. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? I just want to give a little insight. Jesus already knew. We understand that. I believe he asked this question to give his disciples an awareness that everything that was going on in the multitude, he was aware of it. That should be some shouts in the place today. Wherever you are, wiggle those toes, lift up those hands, say, I thank God. He knows everything. He knows where you are right now. He knows what's in your mind. He knows who you are. Teacher Arthur Farstead put it like this. He said, but there's a difference between the touch of a physical nearness and the touch of a desperate faith. It is possible to be ever so near him without trusting him, but impossible to touch him by faith without his knowing it and without being healed. God wants people to reach out in faith. I believe that today, on this broadcast, at this 10 o'clock service, that there's somebody going to say, I'm ready to believe. I'm ready to reach out. I'm tired of carrying the guilt and the shame. I'm tired of running from this and running from that. Lord, would you heal me? And I just dare you right now to reach out and touch. I'm talking about 12 years of shame. Look at Mark 5:33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. The whole truth. The whole truth. Here's the point. Face to face with Jesus. Yes. Face to face. It is so good when we have a,
a face-to-face encounter with the Lord, right? She had come and she had received the healing, the physical virtue, but Jesus said, I want to look at you face-to-face. I want everybody to see that you've been released of your guilt and shame. I want to lift you up on a pedestal for a period of time. There ought to be some shouts of praise. That's what God wants to do. He just wants to give you a lift. Some of you have been released from guilt and shame, and you felt the shackles fall off of you. It is so good. He said, let me see you face-to-face, eye-to-eye. We have to deal with our guilt and shame. We've got to have a come-to-Jesus moment that we realize that, hey, some of this stuff is not my fault, but I know a man that can work it out. I don't have to live like this anymore. He can give me the grace and the mercy to make it through this. Look at Luke 5:4. It talks about this. Remember Simon Peter? He was going through some stuff in his life, and he was having a hard time fishing, and he was just dealing with it. He just wasn't a good fisherman at that time. Luke 5:4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, Jesus said this, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And they hadn't caught anything. And Peter's frustrated. The disciples are frustrated. Jesus said, go on out there. I want you to just cast those nets down. Luke 5:5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. What he's saying is, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not a fisherman. You're a carpenter. We know what we're doing. Ain't no fish out here. They are not biting today. But he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. That's what this woman was dealing with. She's like, you know what? I don't know. I can't interview him. I got this bleeding thing that's going on. But if I could just touch, he says, nevertheless, okay, we'll do what you want us to do. Luke 5:6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats, both the boats, so that they began to sink. Look at this 8th verse. When Simon Peter saw it, this is come to Jesus. We got to have a come to Jesus moment. When he saw what Jesus had done, he said, he fell down at Jesus. This is that woman. I see it. I feel it. I've been healed. I've been delivered. I've been set free. Peter said, he fell down at his knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Oh, Lord, we got to get face to face with the Lord. When you come face to face with God, you will never be the same. Are there any shouts of praise out there? You remember Moses, the man of God, had an astronomical call on his life to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, across a Red Sea, into the promised land. He had to go through the wilderness experience, and he had a face-to-face experience in Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face-to-face as a man speaks to his friend. When you have a face-to-face experience, again, everything in your life is turned upside down for the good, because God is faithful. 12 years of shame. Look at this final scripture of the day, Mark 5:34. And Jesus said to her, face to face, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Final point, one word, faith. Faith. Can you do me a favor in the chat? Can you type that out? Faith, wherever you're standing, sitting, if you can't get to the chat, just say faith, faith, faith. There's something. How long will it take for you to know that God can do anything? Yeah, how long will it take for that mustard seed faith to just grow in you? You say, you know what, the man can't do it for me. My family can't do it for me. Society can't do it for me. But let me tell you about a man who can do everything. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. I just wonder if there's some folks out there saying, I want to believe today, Pastor. I'm tired of carrying this guilt and shame. This has been thrust upon me. My body has done something. I've had to go through some stuff in my life. I did not choose it. I was not planning to be here where I am. I got a limp, Pastor, and I've been feeling guilt and shame for year after year after this. I want you to know, take it to Jesus. Jesus can use that limp. He can use that struggle. He can use that badge of dishonor that you've been carrying, and he can turn it around, and you can have a testimony. Can you put in the chat testimony? Somebody scream out testimony, because God can take us out of our 12 years of shame.
name. I want to let you know, as we bring this all together, God had been planning and working this out. I told you to hold on to that number 12. It seems to indicate after Jesus came out of the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and all of a sudden the soldiers get him. He allows that to happen, and he goes in, he has a mock trial, and finally he's convicted of doing something he didn't do. He's convicted. He's a guilty criminal, and yet he was an innocent man. But I am so glad that Jesus said, I got to be innocent so I can be their sacrifice. It seems to indicate when they spit on him and they beat him all night long to the point of getting to the cross, even carrying that cross down the Via Dolorosa and going to Calvary, that it took about 6 hours. And then we find out in the scriptures when he's finally nailed on the cross of Calvary, Mark 15:24, they nailed Jesus to the cross and gambled to see who would get his clothes. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning when they nailed him to the cross. There ought to be some saints that, I'm with you, Pastor. So 6 hours approximately, some say, trying to get to the cross. And now he's on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Matthew 27:45 says, at noon the sky turned dark and stayed away until 3 o'clock. In the chat, can you put 3 p.m.? That's so important to understand here. Jesus is on the cross of Calvary for you and me. 6 approximately hours of pain and suffering, and then he gets to the cross, and from the 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, yeah, you add it up, 6 hours, 6 plus 6 is 12. He has gone through for us. Then about that time, Jesus shouted out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you deserted me? There ought to be some saints to say, thank God for a Savior that would die on the cross for me. Thank God for a Savior that would suffer for my guilt and shame. Yes, Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. But please understand, it did not take 12 days to get up. But 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory, and now seated on the right hand of the Father and praying for us that we can come out of our 12 years of shame. Saints, wherever you are in your journey, I believe that today is a day of healing for you. Why are you continually carrying around the guilt and shame when you can go to God and he can turn it around? Why are you still carrying around what someone called you from middle school, elementary, kindergarten? Some teacher said to you that you would never amount to nothing. And yes, you haven't prospered as much as you want, but you realize that God has blessed you. Why carry that guilt and shame when you can give it to the Lord? And just as this woman, you can get desperate. You can get fed up with it and say, today is my day. I want a face-to-face encounter. I want to touch Jesus. The Holy Spirit is right where you are right now. And he's saying, I'm the only one that can lift that from you. I'm the only one that can fix you. I just want you to trust him. Before we pray with you, if you're out there and you're saying, I don't know this man that you talk about, this Jesus, the one that hung from the knife 9 a.m. in the morning to 3 o'clock, that 6 hour span, that the one that went through all that suffering to even get to, I don't know him, but I want to know that man. Well, all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, said you will be saved. God literally comes into our hearts. He changes us from the inside out, and he gives us a confirmation, an affirmation that we are saved. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and though we're not perfect, a change begins to take place within our lives. Oh, that is good news. Just ask him into your heart. And I encourage you, after you've done that and he's confirmed that you're saved, connect with a fellowship that you can be encouraged to walk out of all the points of guilt and shame within your life. Oh, God is so faithful. To the saints again, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for others that you know are going through carrying stuff that was not their fault.
You know, it could have been faulty DNA, other issues. They were just thrust into this life and they're carrying this guilt. Some guilt and shame, you know, other people don't even see it as guilt and shame, but you see yourself. I remember there was a sitcom that I was looking at and they were in a weight loss program. And there was a skinny girl. She was sitting in the circle with them and all these bigger people were there and they were telling about their stories. And the skinny girl was like, I feel like I'm fat. I feel like I'm ugly. And all the big people are looking at her like, baby, you are fine. But mentally and emotionally, she felt like guilty and shameful. Some of you are there. People have said, it's okay, but you can't see it for yourself. I want you to pray with me today. And I want you to believe that God can do it. If he did it for this lady, he can do it for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I first thank you for saving souls and adding to the body as you see fit, Lord. I thank you for your massive grace and mercy that's coming through the ears right now to touch those who desire to be touched. I pray for the saints right now who have been carrying guilt and shame, Lord, that they haven't chosen, that was thrust upon them for whatever reason. They picked up some stuff. They've been traumatized from past experiences and they've carried that around and it's impacted their relationships. It's impacted even them serving you. But today, Lord, they see it just as this woman. They become desperate, Lord, and they reach out to you and they touch you, God. Lord, I thank you that right now, guilt and shame is being delivered. I thank you that right now, freedom, chains are broken. I hear the chains being broken. I hear them falling down. I thank you that free saints, free people in you, Father God, because they've reached out and touched. They're having a face-to-face encounter. I sense the tears, Lord. I sense the cleansing process that only you can do, taking them out of 12, 13, 14, 20, 30 years of shame, Father, that today they are set free. Because you have set them free. They are in you. We are in you, Christ. And we give you praise, honor, and glory for victory that's eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm gonna do a holy dance. I'm gonna shout hallelujah. I'm gonna sing Zion songs in my heavenly, heavenly home. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. Don't call the roll till I get there. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. I sure can't answer for nobody else. I can't answer for my mother. Can't answer for my father. Can't answer for my sister. Not even my brother. But I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. Don't call the roll till I get there. All by myself, and I sure can't answer for nobody else. Well, I wanna walk the streets of gold. I wanna touch the pearly gates. I wanna feast on milk and honey in that land where there is plenty. I'm gonna do a holy dance. I'm gonna shout hallelujah. I'm gonna sing Zion songs in my heavenly, heavenly home. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. Don't call the roll till I get there. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. And I sure can't answer for nobody else. Don't call, don't write. want to hear servant. Servant, well done. I want to hear servant. Servant, well done. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Don't sign my name. Don't write my name. I got to hear servant. Servant, well done. I want to hear servant. Servant, well done. I got an answer for me. You got an answer for you. Don't sign my name. Don't sign my name. Well, I want to walk the streets of gold. I want to touch the pearly gates. I want to feast on milk and honey in that land where there is plenty. I'm going to do a holy dance. I'm going to shout hallelujah. I'm going to sing Zion songs in my heavenly, heavenly home. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. Don't call the roll till I get there. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. And I sure can't answer for nobody